Hello, friend. It's been over a year, but we've returned to the AfterBuzz TV Mr. Robot After Show Season 3, Episode 1. It's here, and it's next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, yeah.
That's nice.
It's a little interesting to come into an intro.
We are here to talk about Mr. Robot Season 3, Episode 1, Power Save Mode .h. What is .h? I googled it. We know what .h is. I'm your host, Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That is K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N. But I'm not alone.
Hey.
We've got the two newest members of this panel with us. JC Rubio will be with us next week. He is an OG alongside myself. He will be back. But starting to my immediate left.
Hi, my name is Leslie. You can catch me online at LeslieTheFace, Instagram, Twitter.
And to her left.
Is this really happening?
Hey guys, yes, it is, I'm Rick Hong. You can find me on all social media at Rick Hong, and we're getting ready to rock and roll.
I was curious if you were going to keep the hood on the entire time.
No.
I was like,
that would have been a good vibe.
It's nice in here, but it doesn't
nice. Work as well with the headphones. It
makes not even
like
a little.
Myself, dude. It's already like Puffy Princess Leia, so.
So, it's been over a year since. Season,
it's been too long.
Since the end of season two, Tyrell shot Elliot in the stomach. We didn't know what was happening, what was going on, what was real, what wasn't real, the perspective shifts, is it all a dream, is it all whatever. How are we feeling after episode one airs?
I mean, last season ended kind of insane.
Yeah.
And then it's like, we got a breather along with Elliot while he was, I guess, knocked out for a couple of days, and now we're back into the insanity again, and it's trippy as usual, and I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it's I like the new dynamic twist which we're gonna get into for this episode, but I mean, I literally had to go back and watch.
Same.
Because I'm like, it's because like you said, it's been a year, and this show is so cerebral, you can't just be like, oh, okay, and then check in and start watching it. You need to kind of get some context of what happened and what was going on, and so
yeah,
great directed first episode for sure. I mean, not even just story writing wise, but direction.
Oh yeah,
so cinematic,
amazing.
Also, yeah. Speaking as a professional editor, shout out to the previously by, because you're the real MVP this episode. That was like a good
necessary.
2 minutes.
So that
was a good necessary 2 minutes. Just previously, here's all the stuff you absolutely need to remember.
Yeah, but I agree. The episode, as usual, visually striking. Just like every scene, I was just like paying attention to the story, but at the same time, just like my eyes were just like enjoying the beauty.
And it's just
of the
so
cinematography.
Stylized and like just the composing and the soundtrack and the music,
yeah.
And the everything about this show. We don't need to tell you the show is great. You're here because you know the show's
great.
Yeah,
like this show would look like crap on those old like 80s box TVs. It'd be a waste to do this show on one of those.
That would be kind of funny to see this in three, in like 2x3, just like pillar.
Four by three.
Yeah, the 4x3 exactly. Pillar boxed.
Yeah.
On a TV.
It would look awful. In mono sound.
Quick shout out off the top, my boy Rami Malek.
Ooh.
Amazing. As always, he doesn't miss a beat. And he was he's my favorite part of the show. Just as much as everything else is so amazing, he's still like, and he was amazing.
But because
did I say amazing enough?
you covered the amazing. And to jump into pretty much where they left off.
Yeah.
Angela is playing both sides of this coin, essentially.
Yeah.
Because Mr. Robot exists. He's Elliot. And a lot of people know it. And they just don't care. They've just decided.
But do they know?
Angela knows.
Angela knows,
she
but
knows,
the other
which is,
people.
Which I was like, wow. And that's what I was like telling you. Like, that's what I like about the direction of this is to sing. I mean, I'm getting a little hesitant, I apologize, but just that part that someone else besides him
yes.
feels that is great.
Well, actually, let's just get into it. Do we think Darlene knows? Or Ken know who she's dealing with? Or does Darlene care?
I think Darlene's aware of Mr. Robot. I don't think she can tell at all.
Ooh.
And I don't think Tyrell can tell.
He can't. No, he's.
And the new appearance of Bobby Cannavale, his character.
Cannavale. Irving.
Irving. Sure as heck. I don't think
think he cares.
I know. But so, yeah, I feel like right now it just seems like it's just Angela who can kind of decipher.
Okay.
And use that to her advantage.
I think Tyrell knows there's mental instability.
Yeah.
Sure.
Among Elliot.
Sure.
Because I guess a lot of people know him as Mr. Robot or Elliot. And I guess very few people actually know that there's a duality. But
I feel like Tyrell probably just thinks, oh, every now and then he just acts this way, and sometimes he acts this way. Mood swings. I don't think
he's off his meds a little bit.
I don't think he realizes that it's like a completely different person that he doesn't even remember.
But I think it's an overarching theme that's definitely existed throughout the whole series, that there are people who are so results-driven, so results-based, so their own agenda, that the fact that Elliot Alderson, the person, regardless of everything, is very much troubled in some way. And anyone who interacts with him, whether it be Tyrell or even like White Rose for like the two times the interaction happened, or like anyone who really interacts with him, Irving probably knows within two meetings that there's something off with this guy. He seems to be two different people.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show sometimes people don't care about their humanity or their morals more than they care about what they actually want and want to do.
Yeah, it's more about the agenda of what they want to get, as opposed to, I don't care about you, Steve, I care about this show.
Wow. And
well played.
And the environment they're in with all the chaos and everything kind of just like going to hell.
Uh-huh.
Maybe there's just too much going on for them to even, if they do realize, to care. And to just like, you're doing, where the world's falling apart right now, and they're just, I don't have time to think about the mental issues that this guy's going through.
That's fair.
I just need him to do what we gotta do.
So let's get into Irving. Really interesting character.
Yeah.
Really like him. We're led to believe he's a detective in the New York Police Department. Or at least
a mole?
I mean, if we take everything at face value, he is a detective on the payroll of the New York Police Department, but also on the payroll of the Dark Army.
Yeah. By the way...
Or E-Corp through Tyrell, or the F-Society through Tyrell's arm of kind of E-Corp.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the payroll of a nefarious
But we are not
group.
Sure.
But right, it's not clear to us exactly.
It may or may not be the Dark Army.
His first scene, very memorable. I feel like you immediately get a feel of his personality, his quirks, and like his logic. By the way, shout out to your shirt. That's cool.
Oh, thank you.
I'm like, what?
Yeah, if you guys can't see it, he's wearing the red wheelbarrow barbecue.
Irving's first scene was at the barbecue. Yes. And I mean, I was with him. I was like, really? You guys aren't going to give him a free milkshake? And he's supposed to come back with the punch card. And then what if they're like, oh, you had one last time? I don't know. I understood his like, just like calm frustration at the situation. And I was like, okay, this is someone I might be able to get behind.
Well, it was more the particulars of it. It wasn't so much, are you going to give it to me for me? It was more of like, okay, if we're going to define it, then if I walk out the door and I come back in,
what defines a visit?
Yeah, that's what would have made it more. It wasn't the fact of like, was he going to get it or not
exactly.
get it? But just more like, okay, let's define what visit is.
Is that written on the card? Is that clear at the point of sale?
But I feel like that whole thing is almost like a metaphor for like what's happening with all of the people in the country right now. Like, they think that they're getting something and the system is kind of screwing them over without like blatantly, you know, they're kind of like weaseling their way out of saying, oh, well, yeah, you know, this is the rules. But like the consumer is getting screwed over. By the way, they said the milkshake was going to be like $12 they mentioned that.
Have you had a milkshake at the Red Wheel Bar?
I was thinking that, man.
Worth it.
$12.95.
I was thinking inflation. By the way,
a little expensive.
Didn't bother him enough. I thought it was hilarious. He just went back. Like,
of course.
He's like a loyal customer still.
I will say, because I am wearing the shirt, there was a Red Wheelbarrow Cafe at San Diego Comic-Con. There was also a pretty elaborate AR experience, I'll call it.
Hmm.
A real, like, a pretty much an IRL scavenger hunt that if you ask someone at the Red Wheelbarrow Cafe for a job application, they give you the job application. The job application has is missing words. The words after a cipher bring you to a sign in the Red Wheelbarrow Cafe that has a bunch of pigs on it. The sign with the bunch of pigs on it also references the poem about a Red Wheelbarrow Cafe. I'm paraphrasing. From there, it points you to the...
This sounds complicated.
It's kind of complicated. Shout out to the people who I DM'd on Twitter to help me actually solve this in a timely manner. But it leads you to a bunch of posters that are on the wall outside a boarded up Mr. Robot shop on like a metal shutter. Those posters give you three digits of a phone number. And then I think it said follow the pigs, and there were a bunch of pigs just on the wall that you followed all the way across the street, which there was another sign that gave
physically across the street. Physically from where
across
you were
the
at.
Street where you find a sign.
Okay, that's cool.
You find a sign with a saying. The saying was changed every day. And then there were, three skeletons hanging, and each of them had a number on their hand. And then those were the number that was on their hand were the last four digits of the number. If you called that number, you were able to get through and actually speak to a person. They'd tell you, "Are you free for your interview to meet me at this time at this place?"
And then,
to which I said yes.
You got the shirt.
The shirt. You could buy the shirt for eCoin just at a place in the gas lamp. I meet that person at that time, that place. He brings me down an eerie hallway next to the Red Wheelbarrow Cafe with, it's a man in black who brings me in, and then a separate woman in black who walks me down the hallway. They obviously take my phone, and then it's the Dark Army.
So you can't take a picture.
Trippy.
It's the Dark Army interrogation room from season 2.
What?
Complete with the dude with the giant mask. And just completely dark, except
for the computer.
And the old computer
wow.
with the and then
elaborate.
And then pretty much they ask you a bunch of creepy questions. They make you flip a switch. If you flip the switch, it changes the lighting that you see a bunch of stuff sprawled out along the wall. By the way, this is right next to the Red Wheelbarrow Cafe. It's all important because you're talking about the Red Wheelbarrow Cafe,
yeah.
Which they wouldn't have done this if the Red Wheelbarrow Cafe wasn't more important.
It's probably a front.
And if Irving, yeah, like it felt like a front, and they like wanted to tell me it was a front. Also, once you answer a bunch of weird questions that I'm told change like moment by moment by the dude in like literally like a giant head, they then the phone rings, and then you pick up the phone, and it's White Rose, and White Rose talks to you about...
Did you feel like you were in Mr. Robot?
It was incredible.
That just sounds so surreal.
White Rose talks to you, and essentially the gist of what White Rose said is that Mr. Robot and Elliot and everyone's just all a pawn in my big game, but you've proven yourself useful. I'll give you what you want. And then... But you'll only get it for 30 seconds, and they give you a manila envelope with, I think, 7 or 8 stills in it, and all of those stills were stills from season 3.
Oh,
and you only get 30 seconds to look at them. What? They already took your phone. So you just get to like browse over these 8x10s from season 3 and then you leave.
Yeah, well, they basically take you back to the late 80s, 90s where like, so, yeah, you couldn't.
That's insane.
I mean, more, no, not even like, I guess, even in the millennium, like phones really didn't have cameras.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so
yeah,
well,
like,
so.
Like a but like, fan it was immersion. Timed.
It was ridiculous.
They took you back to the 20th century.
Oh, man.
That was interesting to hear.
Yeah. Wow. Wait, but no food?
Well, no, the Red Wheelbarrow Cafe took... You were able to get 20 e-coins if you signed up at either the Bank of E right next to the Red Wheelbarrow Cafe, a separate place by the Hard Rock, or if you just went to e-coin.com, you could sign up. And it was all through a QR code. And then the Ghirardelli, like there were like 50 different stores in the gas lamp in San Diego that took 5 e-coin for a certain thing. And you got 20 e-coin. And then it didn't take eCoin, but you did have to wait in line and scan your QR code. And then you just get an extra perk where they gave you pulled pork sandwich.
There you go. That's what I've been waiting. That's what I've been waiting.
Oh, sorry.
Are we getting barbecue at any point?
I mean, your story is awesome. Like,
I know.
In terms of not even like, where I thought I was going.
I'm aware the majority of people waited in line for an hour.
I thought it was going to lead you to some food, and I was like, cool.
No, I'm from Texas. I was like, are you ever going to get the barbecue, though?
The food was something separate. You could get vanilla or chocolate milkshake,
cool.
A pulled pork sandwich that was a little spicy, and potato chips. And water. They had water. They had water with the logo on it.
So it tasted like a $12.95 milkshake.
It did taste. It was the serving size for a milkshake was really big, especially for a free milkshake. It was really ridiculous.
Dude, now I got to go to In-N-Out and get me a milkshake.
And what was funny is there was actually advertisements all over, but for eCoin, not for Mr. Robot.
That's hilarious.
It was incredible. Like that's what I was saying before we went on. There's so much cool stuff to do at Comic-Con in the gas lamp.
Because
without a badge.
Because like, I'm sure if they blatantly put that up at Comic-Con, they would have like. It was an overflow.
It eventually got insane. But the first 2 days, it was this well-kept secret.
Great.
It was this well-kept secret that you could just get a Ghirardelli sundae for 5 e-coins.
Yeah. Wow.
You mean Ghirardelli, right?
However you pronounce it.
Ghirardelli.
However it's pronounced.
All right, back to the show.
Back to the show. Back to Irving. And he's my favorite character in 2 scenes. I'm all about this guy.
I mean, Bobby Cannavale is pretty...
Oh, man.
I mean, he's a badass actor. I mean, he's from Boardwalk 11. He had a great role in What's that?
Boardwalk Empire, but go on.
What did I just say?
You said Boardwalk 11.
I can't, karaoke.
I can't let that stand.
Too much karaoke. Boardwalk Empire, excuse me. That is bad that I said that.
Jersey Boys before that, that's where they found.
What I think is cool is this character doesn't feel like anything else I've seen him play. It feels different. It feels quirky, which I thought was really interesting. So then he's the guy that Tyrell calls, right?
Yes. He's the guy that Tyrell calls about the gunshot.
To fix things.
And initially we're left to assume that he's a doctor of some type.
Well.
But until he actually shows up and his bedside manner is the equivalent to, yeah, he's shot.
Well, if he's a detective, maybe he's just seen enough, like, injuries or, you know. I think he's a cleaner.
I think he was a freelance cleaner in that moment. Okay. So, like, how do we make this person live? Everything fine. And then this entire site seems safe.
Yeah, he's almost got, like, a Ray Donovan type.
Okay.
Not in the PR aspect of it, but just but like the, in a, just a contain, pure yeah like contain.
We can contain this entire situation.
And then Angela seems to know him, or at least she's familiar with him.
Ooh,
because it probably alludes to the stuff that we don't know about what happened with Angela off screen. So you pose a good question.
So Elliot wakes up, you know, with Angela, and at the end of last season, she was like, "I need to be the first person he sees when he wakes up." And then, I mean, did you guys like right away? Like, I knew she was playing. Like, she was all concerned, and she was like, "Oh my gosh, I don't know what's happening."
Am I the only one who was fooled here? Took her complete face value.
I was like, "She lying?" And because I mean, as soon as we heard her make that call last season, I was like. And so this whole episode, I didn't trust her. And then at the very end, you know.
See, I got more to chime in on Darlene when we get to her more than Angela, per se. But I like your input
I feel also like Elliot, maybe because he wants to be, like, almost ignorant to what's happening. He seemed like he bought everything really quickly. And that's I was like, I need you to be more skeptical, Elliot. Like, there's things happening.
Well, I also think, and I will get to the scene that I'm sure went viral today, which is the him... like, being super meta about...
Yeah.
Which was funny, because the Mr. Robot mask and the commoditization of F society is already kind of meta, because that's what happened to V for Vendetta. That rhymed. I didn't intend that. but it's already kind of meta, because if you were to buy a V for Vendetta mask...
Which I have at home.
You would be paying NBC Universal, which is owned by Comcast, and you'd be paying a giant conglomerate, which is the exact opposite of what Anonymous would want.
So much irony.
By the way, the Goodwill, at least the Goodwill by my house, you can buy a Guy Fawkes mask for less than $5, because Guy Fawkes was a guy.
Interesting.
Guy Fawkes is a historical figure. If you make a mask about a Guy Fawkes, it'll look very similar to V for Vendetta, but if they're two complete... One is white.
Right.
One is white, and one is, like, a cream white with red cheeks.
Yeah, like puffier cheeks.
Also, one is $25, and one is $4.50.
So, in the chat, Hello Friend, like the name...
Well played.
...says, I think that Angela does care about Elliot, but at the same time, she has White Rose's endgame in mind.
Ooh.
I agree with that. I also feel like she's being used by White Rose, and she herself... doesn't even realize that, like, what Rose is doing to her is what she's doing to Elliot, which is, like, kind of playing on her emotions a little bit, but, you know...
And it's
essentially
a human,
using her.
And it's also a human thing to allow ends to justify the means regardless. Like, whether we admit it or not, that's something ingrained in our humanity. At some point or another, you're going to take advantage of another human. Hopefully it's never to the stakes of a television show,
especially this television show.
Something I really wanted to talk about, because I'm still like trying to process my head around it, was that big, huge, like, hallway scene, whatever, that we saw in the very beginning that White Rose is looking at, kind of like, I don't know if it's like a big time machine or something.
I actually do know that, but I'm saving it for the end, because there's no way to talk about it without jumping into predictions.
We'll go into that because I was like, what is this that I'm seeing? Again,
but hence it goes into like the direction, like the directing and just the production of the show and how it looks.
Continues to elevate.
Speaking of cool scenes, that underground hacker club thing. There was a better name for it, but the underground hacker club, where it's a smoky room that all Elliot wants to do is stop the back door. It's Elliot and Darlene, and all Elliot wants to do is stop the back door so he can, like, do good. Which, there's going to be battle lines.
Yeah.
Are you team Mr. Robot or team Elliot?
That's really hard.
Essentially, to be team Mr. Robot is to say, I'm team F the system, and if some people die, to ultimately live, for the rest of us to live free, cool. Whereas Elliot is what I would hope the average viewer would be, which is like, yeah, but like, life's not that bad currently.
Well,
like,
he's always trying to do the right thing. And from what I got from this episode was that now there's like different types of ramifications that he has to juggle with. And that's and try to undo, because he didn't either have the foresight to look far enough, or he didn't realize until it's like, wait, there was a whole other plan on top of and what. And so I think he's always just trying to somewhat do the right thing, and that's why like I feel like I'm more Team Elliot necessarily than Mr. Robot.
I'm gonna cop out. I'm a little bit of both.
I'm Team Elliot through and through, because I ultimately think Elliot's the human and Mr. Robot's the robot.
But Mr. Robot is Elliot, though.
But Mr. Robot is, to a certain extent, the negativity of Elliot. It's a lot of bad things about Elliot. A lot of the robotics, a terrible way to put it, but a lot of the worst impulses of Elliot are Mr. Robot.
I to an extent, because I feel like Mr. Robot happened because of manifestations of all of Elliot's frustrations, fears, whatever. But I feel like he's still trying to get things done. Like in the first season, he's like, you know, we want to wipe out all the debt. The intentions were still good. It wasn't just to create chaos. It was to try to give, you know, the little man some kind of an advantage.
Absolutely.
And even in like the scene, you know, in the premiere with the whole, like all of the Trump clips and him talking about like, you
which
know, we tried to do.
Which was, well played. For me, that went with the directing. I thought that was awesome.
And
that
there
whole
was
thing, but like he's basically saying, you know, I tried and I messed this up. So I don't feel like Mr. Robot was trying to like screw everyone over. I think the intentions were good, and I feel like now I'm almost still Mr. Robot team, because they've messed things up so far that you might as well just go the whole way.
You
don't know half measures, and things are already pretty messed up. Maybe if they keep going with the phase two, I'm not 100% sure what it is, but maybe it might make things better than if they just leave them the way they are right now.
I think at the core, and we will have to talk about the Trump stuff, is I think at the core of Mr. Robot's agenda and what is in phase two isn't altruist, isn't truly selfless, so much as it's, some people are going to die. If you work in a building that has these records, we're going to blow up this building and some people are going to die. And there's no guarantee that things will get better after I do that. Because as we have established, and they're making eCoin a really big point here, that I think that would only make everyone flock to eCoin. And eCoin has its own problems.
Yeah.
That we can get into in a second. I
mean, it's like starting a war, a revolution, you know. Yeah, people are going to die, but the hope is that it's going to be better at the end than being stuck on whatever makes you want to start the revolution. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I'm a little bit of both, because I think at the end of it, they're both Elliot.
So Leslie's okay with people dying. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
I mean, it's in a the show. Fictional it's too TV
much.
Show.
Because we do have to talk the Trump stuff, and I do want to pull it up exactly. Sam Asmel did tweet something about Trump this morning, specifically because I think there's been a certain level of backlashing. I don't want politics in my TV. First off, if this show is your escapism, I don't know. Like, this show is pretty real.
Yeah. I mean, they've been doing
I don't know what your escapism beginning. I don't know where you think you live that this is escapism. Like, so I'm going to pull up the tweet, but I think it's worth mentioning. I like the idea that they made it very clear that everything that's wrong in the world we live in is exactly what F Society was fighting. And Donald Trump is one of those things that was wrong. Like, he was definitely one of those donors, one of the invisible, like a part of the invisible hand. But he somehow convinced everyone that he was fighting the invisible hand.
I mean, and it was cool that in previous seasons, you know, he's using Obama.
Yeah.
And now Trump's our president. So it makes sense that he's doing that.
I was almost expecting it, because they did use Obama in the first two seasons. I was like, they're going to address this.
Well, and they also...
I knew they were going to implement Trump somehow.
And they also used it... they also used it in the previously this episode, which they would only do if it were... gonna come back. I'm stalling a little so I can pull up the thing in time.
No, but I felt like they found a way to fit it into the narrative really well, where it makes sense. It's part of like this chaotic world right now where things seem unreal, and maybe, you know, without trying to get too political, like some of the drive behind whatever Trump's ascension was some of that might have been some of the similar frustration again that people might have felt, you know, in the show as well. with F Society and trying to, like, the idea that, oh, let's throw in something different, something crazy, might get better. It made it worse, but... Mm.
I should have screenshotted the tweet. I can't find it.
Maybe someone deleted it.
But it was something to the point
suspicious.
Of...
Suspicious.
But it was definitely to the point of Donald Trump is everything that's wrong, and I can't not. Like, everything F Society would have stood for is the exact opposite of what Donald Trump would mean. And it's worth noting that the president of the United States was Barack Obama in the canon of the show. So you have to address that. However you address that.
Yeah.
Like, how you address that is your choice, but you do have to address that. You can't ignore who the president is. Because some people might get offended, and this is not the show that would possibly care
about
the people who would feel that way.
But just the big, long rant, that scene itself was really good. And then, you know, he does the voiceover, but then all of a sudden he's talking in the scene, like just that little transition of hearing the voiceover in his head to hearing actually him actually speak the words, you know. That was cool. I don't know. I just really like the way that scene was executed. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Also, HelloFriend in the chat does bring up a good point that the show is still set in 2015.
Is it?
Because it's not in real time. It hasn't been a year. It hasn't been a year since Elliot got shot.
Yeah.
And
wow, he survived.
And season two did begin where season one ended. So we're in real time from the beginning of season one. So that clip was literally just for us.
I don't trust all of the stuff we see, though.
We're talking about time.
And especially with time on the show.
And perspective and what
I'm
you're showing.
I'm not going to get caught up on what year it is exactly, because it's...
And especially with Elliot's mind, exactly.
I mean, let's be clear. It's the year 2015 to Elliot and a lot of the characters we're talking to. And I think that's about where it stops. Because the second Elliot starts talking to you and showing you clips of your president, oh, he's talking to me. That's the only way I can interpret that. It's like, oh, he's talking to me. He's trying to talk in my language. He's showing me images that make sense to me. And I think that's the extent of it. Do we have anything else to... He interacted with Irving. We should talk about Darlene and the panic attacks.
You had thoughts.
Darlene, in general.
So Darlene was an interesting one, because as I was watching it with my girlfriend, she was like saying, you know, she is definitely been bought, or she's got... Like, she kept saying, like, she's got a wire on her, or she's definitely gone the other side.
I wouldn't think she has a wire. I don't think we can't fully trust her. Her and Elliot both withheld things from each other this episode. I mean, she straight up asked him, you know, are you, you know, is Mr. Robot still involved? Is all this stuff happening? He was just like, no. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, she didn't tell him anything about the whole FBI
But that's what I'm saying, though. It's like she kept asking him questions.
And her questions were super leading.
Right. Yeah. And
she
probably
wants to get information. But
like, that's what I'm saying. That's why I was talking about the wire thing, is that the way that she was leading those questions was to get answers so that... I mean, I'm not saying that she was wearing a wire, but that's what I'm just saying. It's like, as you said, leading to get answers, but like not... It didn't necessarily seem like the answers that she wants were necessarily for herself, but for
a possible recording or information that she could relay. I don't think she had a wire either. But
that's what I'm saying. She didn't have a wire, but just also, there was a lot that she was trying to get.
Yeah, I agree.
It didn't necessarily seem like it was out of
she
just...
She wants to pull out information.
Also, right, let's be clear. Let's be clear. It's been days. She could have just as easily let the FBI into Elliot's house and let them straight up bug it, that she didn't have to wear a wire.
Yeah.
There has to be something up, because she's out. They would... I mean... Are they just going to release her just like that? I mean, I don't know. We'll have to find out. She felt very panicky and vulnerable this episode.
Yeah, that's why. Because I think there's guilt there.
The whole
there.
Scene with the with them in the hacker underground place, she goes to the bathroom. Like, she just feels like she's completely, you know, got a target on her back from mm-hmm. left and right. And I don't know. I don't think she's in control. I feel like right now, if she has a deal with the FBI or with whatever, I don't think she has a plan or an agenda. I think she's just literally trying to survive.
I love the show's ability to have all your characters have all the power and have all the autonomy, but for us, the viewer, they still feel completely out of control. Like,
yeah.
Like, even Mr. Robot feels like he's in complete control, where we all know White Rose is.
Yeah.
Or at least we've not met who's actually in control of White Rose. White Rose, the Dark Army, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that was a hydrogen collider.
What is that?
In short, it's a thing that they're experimenting to try to make black holes with. if you make a hydrogen, if you, this is why I saved this for the end. If you, so,
gonna get heavy.
So if you could use a hydrogen collider effectively, you could create a black hole, and that could allow you, if it if they exist, to enter separate dimensions or very Rick and Morty stuff. Yeah, very Rick and Morty stuff, different dimensions. I am reading specifically that the creator of the show has told Entertainment Weekly today that there will be no time travel. Because there was a lot of talk on this panel about time travel. Specifically because it was a nuclear power plant that E-Corp was working on. There's been a lot of talk about Elliot's father and Angela's parents. And, like, there was a lot of talk specifically about, how do you say it? There's a lot of talk about, oh, you could be back with them.
Yeah.
You could be with, like, it was merely a temporary.
I would absolutely hate, if that's the way the story went, I would absolutely hate that because.
If it was time travel?
Yeah.
No, time travel would be way too simple for this show.
No, that's what I'm saying, and I would hate that because this show is so much more complex. So, like, yeah, that's. Also, if you're like, saying, if you were telling me, like, there's some sort of time machine,
there's like an alternate dimension or reality or timeline. Not necessarily time travel, but another.
Travel through space and time. Like, travel through a multiverse. Or. Well, before I get there, we should talk about the lines White Rose did physically say, which were. Elliot, or all, just like his father.
Yeah.
We'll use him until he has no use for us.
Yeah.
Time brought him to us was a very poignant line he made. That time brought this man to us. And we're left to assume that he did work for the Dark Army / E-Corp / what have you. And that the work was substantial. And that now Elliot is being tapped to continue that work. This is where it gets confusing, because Mr. Robot is the alter ego of Elliot, not to be confused with Elliot's dad, who is also Christian Slater in that jacket.
Yep. I know, that's what I'm saying, the complexity of it, the story.
You have to make it very clear, one of them, as far as we can tell, is dead. Dead as we can understand dead.
Yeah.
However, they're leaving enough breadcrumbs that we have to explore the possibility that with a hydrogen collider and black holes and alternate realities and nuclear fission and technologies that all lead us to, and there's a bunch of stuff on the internet that will lead us to the idea that there are multiple timelines. There are a couple references last season that I've brought up multiple times, one of which is that they called it the Bernstein Project, or Project Bernstein, and then in a following episode it was called Bernstein. Which was
so they changed the inflection of the.
Well, no. They spelled it differently. Directly referencing the Mandela effect. The Mandela effect is this weird phenomenon that a lot of people experience. Which, if you were to ask the average person, where did Nelson Mandela die? First off, a third of them would think it's Morgan Freeman. But once you disregard those people, an alarming percent of them will think, well, Nelson Mandela died in jail because he went to jail for protesting the apartheid. Whereas Nelson Mandela got out of jail, lived kind of a life, and then just died.
Barely recently died, not that long
Wait, but
ago.
Wasn't that Idris Elba?
Wow.
Oh,
I'm just
wow.
Kidding, I'm kidding.
Well, okay,
I'm
so
kidding.
The first season, you know, the big reveal, Elliot's dad was Mr. Robot, right? The second season, big reveal was that, okay, he's been in jail this whole time. He said he wasn't going to lie to us, the audience, anymore. Mm-hmm. But I still feel like not everything is what it seems, and it's unbeknownst.
Never is. That's what makes us, like,
specifically,
us tune in.
It's unbeknownst to Elliot. So, like, for example, this episode, they kept showing, like, you know, the lights going on and off. And at the end, the lights go back on. That means something. I don't know what it means. I almost feel like it's Elliot, like, in a room and, like, they're turning the lights off and all of this is in his head. Maybe not that simple, but it's specifically is something. And I just want to.
What you think? It's like a kind of a Neo effect? Like, ooh. Matrix Neo effect?
Maybe,
this is
all
predictions and Plato's cave.
I know, right?
And spin off the planet, which I would gladly do after I talk to you about Valor on the CW. Mondays, the Charlie Wisco Television Network, the CW, brings you to the front line of drama with the new military series, Valor. Two Special Ops Army helicopters, pilots, breaking boundaries and defying all expectations. Their bravery in the face of impossible odds earned them the Distinguished Flying Cross for Valor. But together they are finding that truth is the first casualty of war. During their first During their last mission, something went wrong, something no one is talking about, and when they went into the combat zone, not everyone came home. So now they have secrets. But they're also patriots and refuse to leave any man behind. What would you do if you had to break the rules or do what's... What would you do if you had to break the rules to do what's right? Would you stay grounded and step in line, or go to any lengths to learn the truth? They share secrets, go on clandestine missions, risk life and limb with only each other to depend on. How close would you get to the only person who really knows you? It's the explosive new drama that pushes the boundaries between military discipline and human nature. The new series, that's right, On Target Valor. New episodes Monday at 9, 8 central, after all new episodes of Supergirl, only on the Charlie Whiskey Network, The CW.
It's actually kind of cool because I've been seeing promos for that. It's like a really badass
lead. I'm really excited for this show.
And they're following it with Supergirl. It's like, you know.
It's going to have a ridiculous lead in with Supergirl.
Badass Women Night. That's cool. Great.
And I've mentioned this before, CW has really branched out and done some good work.
I mean, yeah, because you've got Supergirl, who Superman and Supergirl are, God, I mean, I'm sorry if you live in another country, but you don't get any more American than Superman and Supergirl.
America.
Therefore, you're talking about valor. I mean, I just feel like the branding like stays consistent.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Are we ready for what I like to call Steve Spins Off the Planet?
I'm ready.
You guys call it predictions in this universe?
Oh, snap.
And now,
what?
You're After Buzz TV.
Wait, is this really happening?
Okay.
Did you hear that too?
Oh, you guys.
So, before we get into, like, me spinning off the planet, I'm going to ask a more simple questions. Do we think Irving works for the Dark Army, E-Corp, or just F-Society?
I think he works just for F-Society.
Just for F-Society through Tyrell. That's a fair... He feels really comfortable in his pawnness. But I think that's about it.
And then also, I feel like Angela's really involved. Like, I think she's in deeper than we think. And she still, I think, has ties to E-Corp. So if there's any E-Corp ties, I feel like it's through her and White Rose and that. But
and she's really still very, very, as well she should be, but she's still really bitter. The fact that they brought that whole thing again, like her going on a monologue about the death of her mother. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, that stuff we already covered.
Yeah,
but she's still harping on it. So
well it seems
by
like
the way, that was a long monologue and she did a great job. Mm-hmm. Portia Doubleday
also. She's wonderful. I also found it very interesting that Elliot, minus becoming Mr. Robot, became a very healthy human. Became a very healthy human in that moment of like, no, Angela, you're my everything. I'm into this. I'm into you. I'm into Mr. Robot. Yeah, like Mr. Robot's done. And then pretty much I think he's correct in saying, like, Angela's power saver mode is to just, like, nope, I love this person, so nope, never. And I think that's very, very fascinating. And then he turned out to be an unhealthy, mentally unhealthy human by waking up and being
Mr.
Robot.
About that, I also feel like she right now is all in this mission or stage two. And, I don't know, maybe she just calculated that this isn't a good track for her if Elliot's happy. And what happened as soon as she kind of like, you know, disappointed him, he turned right back into Mr. Robot, which is kind of who she was waiting to come out for.
Ooh.
So the move could have even just been calculated.
Ooh, so you think it's even deeper. You think she knows how to turn him into Mr. Robot.
I feel like she probably knew that, like, oh, you know, Elliot trying to be normal and happy, that's not where I want his headspace to be right now.
I don't, and same thing. It's like with the time travel thing. Sorry, Steve.
Oh, you're fine.
I would hate if they got together. At least right now, it doesn't make any sense with everything that's going on. That's like some cheesy movie. Whereas the writing on the show is so good that for them just all of a sudden kind of conveniently start like being boyfriend girlfriend.
But
or something, it wouldn't work for me.
You know what crossed my mind though? I could see like a little thing with Angela and Mr. Robot. I don't know why. Just like when she was sitting in the scene with him in the subway and she was like, I don't like you. I don't know. I'm not saying like they would, but I don't know. I feel like something weird might happen there.
So, does anyone have predictions?
Still Elliot, but
does anyone
Mr.
have
Robot.
Predictions at large before I spin off the planet?
I mean, this isn't a big prediction, but I think we're going to get more to the point of what is going on with Darlene, like her her spaz, and I really want to say, like, those, like, leading questions had a specific reason more than curiosity. And just wanting to know for herself. So, that's my prediction.
So, this prediction, my prediction is based on username UnityX88 on Reddit, where he feels this is all a simulation. Now hear him out.
Okay.
The only thing a TV show about hacking needs is a large hadron collider, the nuclear energies for creating a quantum computer. I believe White Rose has at some point discovered we are living in a simulation, look into real-life physicist James Gates' work, and figured out if she could get a powerful enough computer together with the world's greatest hacker, she could godmod their simulation and correct the wrongs of the world. That's why she doesn't believe in things like coincidence. There can't be a coincidence when the world is literally a program. You can, however, reprogram Hans Elliot. That explains Angela's 180. Angela, that's not the real world. White Rose, it depends on what your definition of real is. Also, no time travel needed. I'm interested in this theory. The idea that makes sense, that either he's developing a supercomputer and he needs hackers like Elliot to program the supercomputer to essentially put a bunch of people in a simulation, and a bunch of people in a simulation creates enough bandwidth that allows you the computing power to manipulate something like Ecoin. Or straight up, we're already in that simulation, and he's trying to hack that simulation and hack life.
So you're saying we're a little bit like in the Matrix.
That's why I held you off there for okay. The big reveal. That we're literally... This theory, to take it... We are in a corporate Matrix. We're all already in the Matrix. We're already in a simulation. White Rose is one of the few people who actually knows it and is trying to figure out a way to hack it. Yeah. So that he can right the wrongs and help.
Do you know what I say to that?
Whoa!
Oh my gosh! I really like that.
I think that would be the equivalent.
It would be cool.
I think that would, but
as long as you don't have the spider ships.
Well, of course. I also think it would be, if that reveal were like this season, that would be the equivalent to like, and they were dreaming the whole time. Like, it can get really into trope territory, like, bad TV trope territory really, really
like
fast.
Like a sideways world?
Kind of, yeah, like, very much it's in the sideways world, and, like, yeah, another TV really show bad. I covered here on AfterBuzz TV, The Leftovers, did a brilliant job.
Don't give me any spoilers, though.
Never mind that. Well, no, it was made very clear in season one that he was not going to tell you what happened. The show was not about what happened, it was about the people that were left over. It's in the title. This show is doing something very similar. The hook is like the intrigue and the mystery, but the reality is these actual people. Like, I'm more interested in why Darlene's having panic attacks and like what she knows.
I see. More
why
than the story, Angela, but the
like,
people.
Like what happened with Angela's 180? Does she actually believe that White Rose can bring people back from the dead? If so, how?
Or go back in time?
Which, God, please don't do that.
No.
That's what she believes. Like her conversation with Elliot, she believes that if we can go back and change that, that's what she thinks.
She also believes it is some type of mysticism, which I like. Science to a primitive human is just mysticism, magic. So it's not impossible to understand that. Like, there's also, I'll develop a theory by next week, but there's also a lot of clues already being dropped about the Mandela effect. That we the viewer are already seeing two different timelines at the same time.
So we're either seeing Morgan Freeman or we're seeing Idris Elba.
Pretty much, or
or he's escaped, or he's been freed,
or Bernstein, or Bernstein. There's a variety. The Mandela. Google the Mandela effect. It's a big,
or Mandela effect. How about that? Okay.
So I can't make any predictions because I'm not smart enough to figure out the show. But I do want to say what I'm looking forward to is seeing, like, because I read that we're gonna in a couple of episodes see what's gonna happen as far as like with Tyrell, that whole space that he was gone, because I'm really interested in like what he was doing the whole time. And by the way, I feel like his demeanor has changed since we saw him in season one, where he was really like, it was almost like a controlled rage, where now I feel like he's frantic all the time, and like I don't know, I want to know what happened to him. I saw his wife in the preview and I'm excited because I feel like she's just like an ice cold character that I love.
I think she kept him level.
Right?
I can't wait to see her come back.
Yeah, I'm excited to see her. Darlene, I don't know, I feel like not exactly a prediction, I feel like her days are numbered. Like, I don't know. Ooh. I feel like she's at risk, and I've also had
her on Death Watch. Got it.
What if she's not even alive anymore and Mr. Elliot seeing her? Elliot is seeing her. I don't know. He's done that before with his dad.
That'd be too much.
It was a thought.
The guards saw her. actually,
I don't know, but I feel like, I don't know. I just don't know.
No, no, the doorman at the club opened the door for her very specifically. The show is very methodical that they would have the doorman look at Elliot if that were not the case.
But I don't know. I feel like she's going to be the next F Society member that maybe...
That seems fair. And I think she's also like the original, like most of the original F Society members are kind of getting off. That's a decent death watch. I'd put Darlene on death watch after really thinking about it. In another timeline, we probably get to keep going. But in this timeline, we got to wrap it up. Let's keep moving on. So, Rick, where can the people find you on the Twitter?
All social media at Rick Hong, RickHong. And you can find Steve and I on Sunday night, 7 p.m.
Yeah, you can.
Pacific Standard Time for Netflix News.
Yeah, and I am Leslie. You can catch me online at Leslita Face, just how it sounds.
And you guys can find me on Twitter almost exclusively. That's at Steve Kaufman, KAUFMANN. You can also go to thesoberyear.com, where it's a vlog about me being sober. I just completed week 17, which is exciting, I guess. I don't know. I talk about it there.
That's great.
Hey, and the Cubs won. So while you guys are watching this, the Cubs won. They're playing the Dodgers on Saturday. Go, Cubs, go. See you guys next week.
Speaking of the Mandela Effect. Good night.
Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
F-Society.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.